You know, we don't farm like they did when this was written. Some people still, in some churches, that would be 90% of the people would say, yes, we're bringing in the harvest, the literal physical harvest, and there would be great rejoicing. Do you remember the psalm that says that those who sow with tears shall reap with joy? And remember the picture of that, that it's the person who they've had bad harvest after bad harvest, and they've been telling their children, no, that bag of seeds that's hanging on the wall, that's for our next planting. We cannot use that for bread. And so they put that into the ground, weeping, knowing that that's still another several months before their family will have any grain for bread. But they put it in the ground with weeping, and then when they are able to harvest, they harvest with joy and great rejoicing. Sometimes in our lives, there are times where it is just painful to praise God and painful to be thankful. And so when we obey and come before the Lord with rejoicing and thankfulness, it in our hearts there is that thing that hurts still. I just got a text from one of my sisters-in-law that her grandmother just passed away this morning. And so as she comes to worship this morning, it's going to be with tears. But it's also going to be with joy because that portion of the Lord's harvest was taken home today. And we look forward to that time. Even as we grieve, we look forward to the time when we get to participate by being a part of the harvest. The passage of Scripture that says that the whole earth is groaning for the time of the revealing of the sons of God. All of God's creation is looking forward to the time when those who belong to God, the wheat, will be distinguished from those who do not, the tares. And that the wheat will be taken in. And all of creation is anxiously awaiting that time. Father in heaven, help us also to anxiously await that time. But Lord, there are some who appear to be tares right now that you have not yet given new life to. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be a part of that, that there would be great rejoicing in the day that you come and take those who are yours home to be with you. There would be great rejoicing because the entire harvest would be taken in. But, Lord, we would love to rejoice early. And so we ask, Lord, that you would be bringing into the congregation, into the body of Christ, those whose name you've written in the book of life, that they would come and be able to rejoice with us in worship. We are so grateful for your love for us. We're so grateful for your love for all those around us. Help us, Lord, as we worship you, to be reminded of the greatness and the depth of your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The 42nd Psalm, let's begin. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by my enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now remain standing for a moment. In the commentaries, it says that Psalm 42 and 43 were originally one psalm. So let's also read chapter 43. Let's begin. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Our Father, there are times where we can see that praising you is something that comes out of the depths of sorrow. We remember Jesus in the garden as he was praying, Lord, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Let that be done. And we remember on the cross, his soul was in agony as he cried out to you, it is finished. And no greater sorrow could we ever see than when Jesus recognized that all of our sin, all that he abhorred, was placed upon him and credited to his account. And because of that, you turned your back. And yet, Lord, the Bible tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. Lord, those things that we face that are such great trials in our lives, help us to look to Jesus, the author of our faith. Help us to look to him, the one whom we can see has been able to endure. Help us to take his example as an encouragement and to put our faith in him. And by his Spirit, Lord, let him carry us through. And then, Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the finisher of our faith. Looking forward to that joy when the revealing of the sons of God happens and we get to see ourselves in your presence, but also the throngs of people in your presence worshiping you. And Lord, I know that there are going to be some who surprise us that they are there. And there may be some who are surprised because we are there. And Lord, help us to look forward to that time and help us to build into our lives that recognition of your love for us and the power that you make available to us by your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in obedience to you, looking forward to that joy, even as we have a downcast heart inside. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians that can be one of the most painful things to hear when you are going through a difficult trial. It ranks right up there with Philippians 4:4 and Psalm 100 verse 1 and many others like in Psalm 42 and 43 where we just read, yet when my soul is downcast within me, yet will I praise my God. And I remember so clearly the Sunday morning when we had sung, give thanks with a joyful heart. And then in the sharing time later in the service, Judy said, it just struck me today that I strive to give thanks out of an obedient heart. And as we were singing today, I was reminded that I need to give thanks with a joyful heart. I remember, I don't remember what I was doing. I do remember that I was on my knees. I think I was looking for something in a drawer in our bedroom. And as I was looking for whatever it was, I was struck with the realization, and I started praying, Lord, you have protected my family from anything difficult. And I'm so grateful. If you bring something into our lives, help us to be just as grateful. And it was about a year, maybe 2 years after that, that cancer struck Judy. And I was reminded continually of that prayer and this scripture. Starting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just to set this up a little bit, I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You know, that's a hard enough one in and of itself, especially if you have people that are serving you who you think aren't doing a very good job. But they're being diligent. And that thing, I remember when I was in, I think I was a freshman in high school, and our school had just released a music instructor under pressure, not from because he was incompetent, because some of the students were not appreciating him. I loved him. He was such a great guy. Very good musician. And then the one whom they were able to hire to bring in was a great musician, but an incompetent teacher. And I can remember being one of those who grumbled and complained, and who had a part in getting him fired. Over the years, God has brought this scripture back to my mind over and over again. Esteem them very highly. This man was doing his best to love us, to teach us. He no doubt had some awareness of what had happened to the gentleman before him. And so he was nervous and he was trying so hard, and I didn't give him a chance. Similar thing happened in college, and I'd like to think that I had learned some lesson because I had gone specifically to George Fox to study under Dr. Charles Friesen. He was a choir instructor that I thought the world of. In my freshman year of college, he was on sabbatical, so I didn't even get to see him that entire year. Sophomore year, he returned from sabbatical, and it was a fantastic year. We did some wonderful music, extremely difficult, and yet he pulled us together, and we were able to do it very well. And I loved that year. And then he quit working at George Fox and went to another college. And so this man whom I had wanted to study under, I didn't get to, except for that 1 year. They brought in another guy, and amazing musician, but had social difficulties. He was a very, very solid teacher. And many of the people in our a cappella choir rebelled against him because they just were unwilling to give him the grace to accept what he was trying to give them. And God gave me the grace to embrace that and to embrace that man. And a relationship developed out of that that I've been thankful for. He passed away about 5 years later. But a relationship developed out of that working relationship of choir member to choir director, of voice student to voice instructor, of musical student to music education instructor. And just, God bless that relationship. Highly esteemed. Those whom the Lord has given charge over you to give you instruction. Highly esteem them in their work. Live in peace with one another. Those are hard enough instructions. And it's going to get more and more difficult the further into this passage we go. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. That's what needed to happen to me in high school. I needed some people to come alongside and say, John, you are out of line. He may not be the best instructor, but he is the one who is your instructor. That's why so much when I'm teaching in the PE classes, I say, you need to make sure that you listen well to your teachers. God has given them something for you today. Be a good listener. Don't be a distraction. I needed somebody to come along and admonish me. Then it goes on, encourage the faint-hearted. That one's a little bit easier. Help the weak. That one's easier if you can see they're trying, but if it doesn't look to you like they're trying, then there's that mind attitude that goes, well, they don't want it. I shouldn't help them either. And that's not what it says. It says help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Ouch. How many times in a day do we go through and there's somebody there that just tries our patience and we mentally curse them? Man, wouldn't they just get along with it? Why can't they figure this is so simple? We just are so impatient with them. And then it gets even more. Verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. And then we get to this, rejoice when there's plenty to rejoice about. And pray when it's convenient. And once in a while, remember to give thanks for the good things that God has given you. It'd be a lot easier if that's what it said, wouldn't it? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember Paul? I prayed 3 times, Lord, remove this thing. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Quit asking. We don't like to think of that part of it. But the Apostle Paul, if there was something, this man who could do miracles, God would use him to do miracles in other people's lives, and there's something in his life that is hindering him and painful to him. And he says, Lord, please remove this thorn from me. And God says, stop asking. Then it goes on, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, holding fast to that which is good and abstaining from every form of evil. When God is wanting to move in us and we are unwilling to be grateful, we're quenching the spirit. The spirit is saying, this is what I need to take you through because there is this thing coming on ahead that you cannot see and of which I'm not going to tell you about, but there is this thing coming on ahead and you need to be prepared, and this is what you need to be prepared for that. And we say, no. And then maybe he does say, okay. Sometimes possibly. Okay, I'll take you out of this one. And then that next thing comes along and just smacks us. And then we start to get mad at God. Why are you doing this to me? Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise the prophetic utterances. When somebody confronts me, when somebody confronts you, what's your attitude going to be? Lord, if there's something I need to hear in this, let me hear it. Help me to get past the offensiveness of the person who's saying it so that I can understand the message that you want to get through to me. Maybe there's some validity to the message. Examine everything. And in my New American Standard, carefully is written in italics. The reason it's written in italics is because it's not in the Greek word, but it is inferred by the Greek word in the tense of the Greek word. So it's saying, don't just examine everything, but carefully examine everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every kind of evil. Now, I want to go back and just focus just a little bit on that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I can remember as a child and as a young man, hearing people say, well, God knows that there are some things that we just can't be thankful for. So what he's telling us is that as it's going on, we should still be thankful for other things. And the more I've grown, the more I've hopefully matured, I don't think that's what it's saying. I think it's saying in everything, give thanks. I was just talking with somebody yesterday who's having muscle tension and pain. And saying, you know, I can remember in basketball and football growing up, and the coach would say, how are you feeling? It hurts. Okay, let's do it again. And I learned to say, it hurts so good, because I came to understand that what the coach was trying to do was to prepare me physically to be able to not, to have a much higher threshold of pain in the game. When the time came when it counted, he wanted me to be conditioned to the point where I could endure much longer. Our coach, Mr. Burns, told us after my freshman year of basketball, he said, this was the most fun year I've ever had. He said, we would start the game, and within 2 to 3 minutes, the other coach would call timeout, And after the game, he would tell me, man, when I called that timeout, my guys were just sweating and breathing so hard and their heads were down, and they came and plopped themselves on the bench. And he said, then I'd look over at your guys and you hadn't even broken a sweat yet. And I knew the game was over. Average margin of victory that year was something in the neighborhood of 25 to 35 points. We were prepared by the difficulty of the practices. Doesn't that apply also in our spiritual life? That it's the difficult things that give us strength later. It's the difficult things that help us to learn to endure, that help us to learn to persevere, that help us to learn that our attitude shapes our ability to persevere, that our attitude of gratefulness to God, thank you, Lord, for bringing even this into my life, use it in me in a way that redeems me to you and redeems this event to me. Use it in a way that brings glory to you and that helps me to turn my eyes toward you. Use it in such a way that my heart is always drawn to you and that my first reaction the next time life slaps me and you bring something into my life that's painful, my first response will be, thank you, Lord. Show yourself to be strong. In me and through me. Help me. Help me to get through this. Let me see your hand at work. Rejoice always. And it's in those painful ones that we understand what praying without ceasing means. And that there's that constant cry in our heart. The message I sent back to my sister-in-law this morning was, I'm grieving with you in your grief and rejoicing with you in her joy. Because she understands that. She knows. She said, my grandmother has been for the past 6 years asking, when can I see my husband again? And she was having mental issues enough that Betsy was able to say, he's gone visiting for a little while. You'll get to see him soon. And that would satisfy her. But there was that constant, I want to see my husband. When do I get to see him? Today, she gets to see him. And so, even Betsy is rejoicing, even as she weeps tears of grief. And that's what God is meaning when we don't grieve like others grieve. There is that within us that we have a confidence. It's not a hope that's based in our own worldview that says, oh, everybody, once they die, life gets easy for them. No. I just saw a meme come through on Facebook yesterday. How many of you remember the rock and roll song from, I think it was from the 70s, Highway to Heaven? Stairway to Heaven. And out of that, there was the recognition that in the song it talks about there's this highway that goes to hell and there's a stairway to heaven. And we ought to recognize that the highway and the stairway reflect a spiritual truth. That there are many who choose the direction of hell, few who choose the stairway. Jesus said there are many on this wide path to destruction. And there are few who search for and find the narrow gate that opens to a narrow and difficult path, of which Jesus says, I am the way. I love this passage. It has been one of my favorites oftentimes for the verses that follow, examine everything carefully and hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. But it always, every time that verse comes to my mind, the preceding ones always come too. Rejoicing always. Praying without ceasing. In everything giving thanks. For this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning me. Concerning you. There's a song that Janessa found shortly after Judy had died, and she would play it multiple times a week, and I would be blessed to tears by it every time she played it. It was called Blessings, and it's what if God's blessings come through tears, through sorrows, through hard times. And Darlene yesterday said, I had this song that I wanted to send a link to you, but I wasn't sure whether it would be too difficult for you to hear. And I said, well, what is it? And she started describing it to me. And I thought, oh, that's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite because it reminds me that God can use everything to bring His greatest blessings. We need the rain, don't we? We need the storms that settle the rain, the snow in the mountains. We need that to happen. We need that here. In the Midwest, I used to wonder, why is it that they have the blizzards and they get all of this snow? Well, it's because they're going to need it in the ground to grow the food on one of the most fertile places in the world. But it wouldn't be so fertile if it didn't get the snow and the storms. And God's blessing comes through those difficult times. And so I can be thankful. I went and I looked as she was talking to me and I found it. And then I remembered, oh, I got to see the woman who wrote it sing it last year during Keith and Kristen Sketty's Sing conference that they live streamed. I watched her sing it. And I listened to her give her testimony. And the testimony is something of this marrying of this man who, right after marriage, developed a health issue in his brain and now does not know her. It saved his life, but he doesn't know her. And yet, out of that came a song that has been such a blessing to me. I want us to do something today. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had today to be reminded that we have so much to be thankful for, that you bring things into our lives to cause us to turn our hearts to you, to cause us to cry out to you for help, and to cause us to recognize that apart from your help, we would not be able to deal with the things that are going on. But then also not just to cause us to turn, but then also that you could work through us for those who are watching, that they would be able to see your grace. And that you would also be working in us to prepare us for whatever it is that you have next for us. And sometimes, Lord, just to cause us to look forward to that promise that you have given to us, that there is a day when we would get to see Jesus face to face. Oh, what a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. And we get to look upon his face, the one who saved us by his grace. And he'll take us by the hand and lead us through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Judy and I prayed that God would give us a family to be able to be a stable part of our lives. And God has blessed us so much through you folks. We are so grateful to God for his blessings, and we're grateful to you for the love that you have given to us. It is a small thing to try to return that to you. It's because what you have given to us is such a great thing that we are so very, very grateful. God go with you and bless your lives this week. Amen.